Well, welcome back to another Comfort Reads episode. This time I am joined by Megan Cutter, who also happens to be one of my sisters. Hi, Megan.
Hello.
What should people know about you, Megan?
I am a substitute teacher. I am his older sister.
Yes.
One of his older sisters, Seth's older sister. And I'm going to exchange Sam and Seth all the time because Sam is my son.
Yes.
I have two kids, a husband, and I live in Washington, lived in Alaska for 42 years, and I'm an aspiring writer.
Cool. And your Borg designation is 2 of 4. Second of 4.
Second of 4.
Mine is 3rd of 4.
Yes, 2nd of 4.
We are the sure. middle children, and therefore... Yes. The weirdos.
We're the twins.
Yes.
That are 3 years apart.
Right. And you are a big reader as well.
Huge reader. Yes. Yeah. Love to read. Mostly urban fantasy.
Okay. There was one summer in Anchorage where I can't remember if we were staying at the house or not, but I kept coming by and picking up Crichton books off your shelf because you had like 9 of them and I read them all in that summer.
Right. Right. I go through phases right now. I mean, I think once I got introduced to urban fantasy, it became my favorite, but I do still love, science stuff
and techno,
what did you call it?
Thrillers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Techno thrillers. And I love a really good mystery too.
Mm. Well, that's right. Cause you read a whole heap of Agatha Christie's.
Oh, I spent an entire summer reading Agatha Christie and I did that for years. Mm-hmm. I had like 40 of them, something like that.
And you had all the Nancy Drews as well.
Nancy Drew was my first real love. Mm-hmm. But then I read like Beauty by Robin McKinley, and that sort of launched me into the fantasy realm.
Yeah.
And that's a retelling of Beauty and the Beast. And so pretty wide variety. I don't read nonfiction.
Okay.
I really, really don't read nonfiction. And if I do, it has to be a paper copy. It can't be... Kindle. I have to be able to highlight.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So let's talk about your comfort reading. What have you chosen for us to discuss?
We're going to go Odd Thomas because we both love it.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah, by Dean Koontz.
Yes.
Absolutely fabulous. And I think I'm the one that told you to read it.
I think you are. I was actually just looking back at my reading of Dean Koontz because the first one of his that I read was Lightning.
Which is fabulous.
Yeah, and Colin gave me that one. And so I read that, and then I started reading some more of his, and at some point I picked up Odd Thomas. But that was at the time when I was reading, and this was in 2002, 2003, Odd Thomas was pretty new.
Right.
And yeah, I think I might have mentioned that I was reading Koontz, and you're like, oh, you got to read Odd Thomas.
Right.
And so
there are some Koontz that you absolutely have to read, and the older ones, the Watchers, Lightning, and then Odd Thomas was newer. Mm-hmm. And I think I told you to read the Frankenstein series, too.
Yes.
And those were fun.
Yeah.
Interesting. Those
were fun. Yeah. And for a long time, I just, what I would do is at the library, when I would get a new Koontz book, generally, he's prolific enough that there would already be a record created for his next one that was coming out in like 9 months.
Right.
Because he'd do like 3 books every 2 years.
Right.
And so I'd just always have one being requested.
You've probably read more Koontz than I have. Mm-hmm. I tend to reread a lot.
Okay.
And so I'll reread Lightning and Watchers and Odd Thomas like every year or every couple of years. Whereas reading a brand new book, I tend to read a brand new book and then one that I've already read. And then I kind of go like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I need the security of knowing what's going on in the...
Right.
In the old book.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Especially if I read something super intense.
Yeah. I pretty much read everything Koontz put out between Odd Thomas and I don't remember what the last one was that I read, where he finally put out a book that creeped me out enough that I didn't finish it. And I went, okay, maybe we've been with Koontz for a few years.
But, right.
I can't remember which one that was.
Our cousin Earl says not to read Mr. Murder.
Oh, that's an old one.
It's an old one.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't read that.
So I've staunchly stayed away from that particular one.
Yeah.
I did read a bunch of his older ones, and some of them are really good, and others I was like Icebound. I was like, it's okay. Not my favorite by far.
Yeah. So I feel like, I've never been a big horror fan. I like thrillers, and I feel like Koontz falls, he kind of straddles that line. Sometimes he'll go over more into the horror side, and other times he sticks more thriller. And Odd Thomas is one that kind of straddles that line as well.
Right, and people tend to put Kuntz and with like Stephen King, but he tends to be really a lot more horror. Mm-hmm. And I haven't really read a whole lot of Stephen King, like Firestarter and
I've read that one.
You know, the whole the Richard Bachman little short stories with Running Man and mm-hmm. stuff. I read those, but I haven't been a huge Stephen King. Mm-hmm.
So how did you first come across Odd Thomas?
I really don't know. I know that I had a hard copy of it, so it wasn't a Kindle. It was pre-Kindle. Mm-hmm. And I think I was probably just visiting Katie at, our younger sister Katie worked at Barnes & Noble. Mm-hmm. And I think I came across it, read the back of it, and I had read Lightning and Watchers and a few others. And so I think it was just new. It was the new mm-hmm. one, and picked it up and just absolutely fell in love with it.
Yeah. Well, at this point, maybe we should try and keep away from too many spoilers, though maybe we want to talk about the end of the book at some point. But how about just sort of a inside flap idea of what the book is?
Oh, okay. So Odd Thomas is a he's a short order cook who can see dead people. He can't hear them.
Because they don't talk.
Because they don't talk. So he ends up kind of solving a few mysteries. And mm-hmm. It is kind of a spoiler, but like right at the very, very beginning, he runs into a girl that's been murdered.
Right.
And he has to like right away, right at the very beginning of the book, just mm-hmm. jumps off into solving that mystery.
Right.
And then he also sees these things called Bodaks. I don't mm-hmm. know how you pronounce it, but that's, in my mind, it was always Bodaks. Mm. And they're like kind of little shadowy, demon-y creatures that congregate when there's going to be a huge disaster.
Right.
And so he starts seeing those, and he knows that something's going to happen in his town. And I forget the name of his town. Is Poco.
Oh, what is it?
Pokemundo.
Pokemundo, yeah.
Pokemundo. Yeah, he starts seeing them congregating and has to solve the mystery of what is going to happen.
Right.
Because he knows that they are not, they only congregate around really big, horrible disasters.
Yeah, and bad people.
And bad people, yes. Yeah. And so when he's a short order cook and he sees a guy walk in that's got Bodaks around him mm-hmm. and he knows that, yeah.
So the first time that I checked this one out was on audio, and so I always pronounce it Bodaks because that's the way the audiobook guy did. But the movie, he says Bodaks.
Bodaks. So,
yes, Fungus Man is a great, great antagonist, and the great part about it is he's not the real antagonist.
He's not the real antagonist.
Yeah. Sorry, that is a spoiler.
And spoiler too, I didn't actually like what they did with him in the movie. I thought he was a little too goofy. Mm-hmm. He needed to be a little more sinister, even though he wasn't, you know, the actual bad guy.
Right. And I don't want to talk too much about that because there's a great moment where it's one of those books that when you reread it, it's kind of like The Sixth Sense, where you see how skillfully it was put together to keep you from seeing certain things.
Right. Exactly.
And then you can see them on the reread.
Exactly. And so, you know, the whole story is him trying to figure out and stop this disaster from hitting his town.
Yes.
Meanwhile, there's a love story that goes along with it too. And then, you know, some really terrific friendships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he's friends with like the chief of police, right?
He's friends with the chief of police. He's friends with a writer who wants him to write. And and he's one of the funniest guys in the story that I absolutely love.
What was his name? Do you remember? I haven't read it recently.
It was like Big Something.
Yes. He's enormously fat.
He's enormously fat. Yes. And I haven't reread it recently enough that it's escaping me, but, it's on the tip of my tongue. So I'll remember it eventually.
Yeah. And then his boss at the diner, right?
Boss at the diner, who actually is the only one who really, aside from his girlfriend, that really knows that he sees dead people.
I thought the chief knew. I think the chief knows.
Maybe the chief knows. And oh shoot, man, I can't remember his friend's name. That's the writer right now.
It's Little.
Little
it's
Ozzy.
Not, yeah.
Little Ozzy.
Not Big, yeah.
Yes, not Big Ozzy. Little Ozzy.
And Odd has a troubled past.
Has a troubled past.
Because his mother was very abusive.
Yes, and she can't handle any stress of any kind, or she starts like threatening to kill herself. And,
right.
Yeah.
And so Odd is terrified of guns.
Terrified of guns, yes. And
because she would like crawl in bed with him with a revolver,
right?
And basically threatened to end both of them.
Yes. Yeah. And so he does, you do see her, but she is, mm-hmm. she's very fragile and mm-hmm. you're not allowed to bring any stress into her life.
Yeah.
And Odd brought stress into her life as a just having a child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and then his dad's a deadbeat womanizer. Right.
Yeah. Always looking for the next make it rich scheme.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And the next ex Mrs. Odd Thomas's dad.
Exactly.
So then we have Stormy Llewellyn.
It's Stormy Llewellyn, who's wonderful. It's his girlfriend. Her real name is Bronwyn.
Right.
But she goes by Stormy Llewellyn because why wouldn't she?
Sure.
Right. And she is, she has aspirations for running an ice cream shop. And right. she is like a manager right now, but she wants to like have her own. Mm-hmm. And she's very passionate about ice cream.
Yes. Which
you should be.
You know, that's the kind of down-to-earth character you can get behind.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they've been together for a really long time because they went to a fair one time and they went to a fortune teller machine and it...
Right. Like in Big.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like in Big. And it gave them a little thing that said you'll be together forever.
Right.
And they have matching matching birthmarks.
Right. So his is a tattoo, isn't it?
No, hers.
Hers is. Okay.
She got a tattoo. Yeah. Yeah. But you don't find that out. That's a spoiler.
Oh, sorry. That's terrible. Yeah. They're quite delightful. Stormy is sort of manic pixie dream girl in a way. Mm-hmm. But I feel like she's more complicated than that as well.
Yeah, she's got a little Mary Jane going, but she is more complicated because she like she's afraid of sex because of something that happened in her past. Right. So she, you know, I mean, she definitely has her quirks, but
well, they're both damaged.
They're both damaged, but they've been together for a really long time, and they believe that they're going to be together forever. Mm-hmm. And so it is a very sweet, sweet love story.
Yeah. What else do we talk about Odd Thomas, the book?
Well, there's kind of the time that he goes into the Fungus Man's house and
right.
kind of enters into sort of a hell realm.
When yeah.
you really do, you know, go, oh, okay, this is really bad.
Yeah.
Really bad. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, through his investigation, he has to break into a few places and, mm-hmm. You know, all of that. And he finds a calendar
right.
date.
Well, and he finds a folder full of admiration for mass killings.
Mass killings, yeah. There's a whole file drawer that's full of mass killings. And on one particular, in one particular one, there's a folder that has just, and it's like 24 hours from now, from the time of the book. And so he really has just a really short amount of time to mm-hmm. Do that. And so, I mean, he has to kind of do some creepy stuff. He has to examine a dead body and,
oh, right.
you know, and he has dreams too about what's going to happen. And so he's dreaming about these people that have these green uniforms and he doesn't know, and he knows it's getting worse and worse.
Right.
And my favorite parts though are like Elvis. Elvis right. always seems to be hanging around. Mm-hmm. Odd Thomas's boss loves Elvis,
right.
knows everything about Elvis. Mm-hmm. And Elvis always seems to be around, and Elvis is sort of he's sort of an emotional
barometer, almost.
A barometer, yeah. Yeah, yeah, where he, you know, is one time crying and Odd Thomas doesn't really want to explore why Elvis is crying.
Right.
You know.
But he thinks, yeah, Elvis might know something, but he can't communicate it to him.
And then there are just the little funny throwaway things that are like the cow that's exploded. And that's part of Dean Koontz is always just this crazy sense of humor.
Yes.
That and the guy who died and has the severed arm, and he's always at the tire place, and he takes the arm and he scratches his back with it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just these kind of crazy side things that don't really mean anything, but they give humor to the yeah. book that's one of the reasons why I love Koontz is just the weird humor.
Worth noting that there are multiple Odd Thomas books.
Right.
None of them are as good as the first one.
Right. And I've actually only read three of the four. And then there were some small books as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then there's some graphic novels as well, some tie-ins.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed the first three well enough, but I've never gone back and revisited any of the other ones.
Right.
I did read the whole series. I did read the final one. just because I thought, well, okay, this is the
right.
This is the end of the story. Okay.
Because I probably will read it someday. I didn't like two very much. I liked three. I liked Brother Odd.
I liked Brother Odd better than
I forget what the second one was.
Forever Odd.
Forever Odd, mm-hmm. Yeah. And that one I was kind of, it was okay.
Yeah.
The third one was really good. I liked Brother Odd, and I probably should have gone on. It's just mm-hmm. that I'm ADD, so I tend to.
The fourth one I just listened to on audio because I was a little fed up with the series. And I at some point realized I had missed a CD.
Oh.
And went, whatever. And just plowed on because I didn't care.
Oh.
So when I say I've read them all, that one I haven't completely read, but I didn't like it. I thought it was dreadful. So.
Oh, yeah. Did you like the fifth one?
I liked it in that it was the resolution, right. But I have no desire to go back and read it. I feel like the series is best done by just reading Odd Thomas five times.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's the one that I reread mm-hmm. constantly, and I can reread that one in like a day.
Yes, it goes down easy. And there's lots of, like you said, little throwaway things that where Odd will talk about, you know, the time he got thrown out of a lake, or thrown out of a boat, tied up in a lake, you know, and not followed up at all.
Right, right. Gene Kuntz is pretty famous for doing those little throwaway things. And, you know, like that's the day the cow exploded. And he doesn't explain anything until a little later when he's, you know, talking about this big ceramic cow.
It was not a living cow.
It was not a living cow. Yeah.
Yes.
Beef everywhere.
Yes. So what is it that makes this one comfort reading for you?
Well, I've read it before, but it also, I think my comfort reads have to have some sort of emotional draw for me. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely emotional because you really love Odd. Mm-hmm. And he has had this damage in the past. Mm-hmm. And he's so desperate mm-hmm. all the way through that it really, it draws you in. I think a comfort read for me is one that still will evoke that same emotional response mm-hmm. every time I read it,
right.
even though I know what the resolution is. It's the reason why I rewatch movies. I do right. the same thing. Mm-hmm. If it can get me emotional every single time, mm-hmm. that's a comfort read for me.
Yeah, I agree. And this one definitely has that. Yes. And it's, you know, Odd is a character that you love, and you also admire him because he has this kind of destiny placed on him, this drive and mission where he feels like I have this ability and I have to use it, and right. I don't have a choice in the matter. I can't walk away. I can't just leave town.
Right. Well, and he's not all depressed about it.
Right.
You know, he's kind of a happy-go-lucky guy, mm-hmm. and he counts his blessings a lot, mm-hmm. and he really, you know, has kind of just embraced his destiny,
yeah.
even though he knows this terrible thing is coming, and he's desperate to stop it. Mm-hmm. He always seems to be kind of just okay with who he is, mm-hmm. not just oh poor me.
Right.
You know, he doesn't have a whole lot of oh poor me moments.
Yeah, yeah. So I have also read this one a few times.
Just a few.
Just a couple. Well, yeah, not as many as you, obviously. But because we did it for, this was one of the first books that Colin and James and I all read together and discussed while we were running, which was kind of a prelude to our podcast.
Oh, okay.
Which is why it's called Pavement Pounders Podcast. That's why it's pavementpodcast.com, even though it's Take Me to Your Reader.
Right, right.
So couldn't decide on the branding. But yeah, so I read it for that, and we obviously watched the movie. We could talk briefly about the movie.
Yeah, and it has Anton
Yelchin.
Yelchin.
R.I.P.
Which is, it's so sad that mm-hmm. he's gone, who passed away a few years ago in just kind of a freak accident.
Yeah,
And he was absolutely the perfect Odd Thomas. Mm-hmm. I'm not super fan of the gal who played Stormy. Mm-hmm. I thought she was a little stiff. She wasn't.
Yeah, yeah.
She wasn't quite what I was looking for. In that, I absolutely loved Willem Dafoe as the chief of police.
Yeah.
He was fabulous. And even though he's not super super fat, I loved the Big Ogsy character because mm-hmm. I do love. What's his name? Patton Oswalt as little Ozzy. Even though he's not gigantic and fat, right. he was a good choice mm-hmm. for a little Ozzy.
Yeah.
And the gal who played Viola was wonderful. I think they did a really good job with casting. I would have chosen somebody different for Stormy, mm-hmm. but she did a fine job. And the movie itself was
fine.
fine. It's not one that you're going to say, oh, mm-hmm. you absolutely have to see this movie.
I think it's on Netflix right now.
I think you have to see it. If you really liked Odd Thomas, you might as well watch the movie. But it is a, you might as well mm-hmm. watch the movie. It's not a, you absolutely have to see it.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, the effects were good and they told the story and it was really quite true to the story.
Mm-hmm. A few changes.
They leave out, you know, some of the really funny stuff that I think mm-hmm. they should have put in the cow exploding and
right.
the dude with the arm. Mm-hmm. You know, those things are the things that I really remember. But they did. It's very true to the book. Yeah. Very true to the book, mm-hmm. which I appreciate.
I can appreciate that. I don't always, but...
Yeah.
Are there any books that you or media or anything that you would say is similar to Odd Thomas? I mean, The Sixth Sense is the obvious one.
Yeah, The Sixth Sense for sure. Although heavier. It's definitely heavier because there's a child involved, mm-hmm. and that, you know, that's where your emotion, the emotional aspect yeah. comes in, is that you have this child that doesn't really understand and hasn't mm-hmm. really embraced his gift,
yeah.
Or doesn't see it as a gift. Whereas Odd Thomas is old enough that he has embraced this as, mm-hmm. as his gift. And he just, you know, I mean, he knows that when he goes to the tire shop, he's going to see the dude with yeah. the arm and that's. That makes it less emotional, mm-hmm. even though they do a really, Dean Koontz does a really good job of you know, bringing you into the emotional side of it. But I'm trying to think anything else, but yeah, The Sixth Sense, I think, would be the I See Dead People.
Yeah. If you like, you know, books or stories where there's a ticking clock, because there definitely is that, you know that it's kind of under the sword of Damocles the whole time, and eventually something bad's going to happen.
Right, right. Well, and when he finds the thing, you know it's within 24 hours, and it's, I mean, I think by the time he finds it, it's like 12 hours until right. it's going to happen. And it is definitely fast paced mm-hmm. and told from first perspective, mm-hmm. First person perspective. So it's all from Odd's perspective.
Yeah.
And yet there are some really, you know, just kind of sweet moments in there too. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a good little mystery too, because he finds clues here and there, and on the reread you can pick them up and you'd be like, oh, there was that tattoo. And
yeah, exactly.
That guy's explanation about it doesn't actually hold up.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And then, you know, there's the ending that is always going to have an emotional
yes.
aspect.
But we probably shouldn't spoil.
No spoilers.
Yes. No, high recommendation from both of us.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, five stars.
Makes me want to reread it again. Because I haven't read it in a couple of years.
So. Yeah, I'm thinking as soon as I'm done with the book that's a new book that I'm reading right now, mm-hmm. and it was a trilogy that I think I might have to dive back into Odd Thomas
again. I mean, I think, you know, comfort reading doesn't necessarily have to be one book that you read over and over, right? It can be like a genre or a series or that kind of thing, but it definitely can be.
Yeah, I have a whole slew. I mean, pretty much anything that I've read mm-hmm. is going to be a comfort read because it's... because I already know the storyline, but there are a few books that I will absolutely reread pretty much every single year, mm-hmm. and Odd Thomas is one of those.
Yeah,
but it's not like it's like the book Odd Thomas. It's not like reading the whole Harry Potter series or something like that. It's just to me it's a standalone mm-hmm. that works really well that way.
Yeah, cool. So before we sign off, how can people get a hold of you? If they'd like to.
I am on Twitter at Meg Cutter, and then on Facebook at Megan Heasley Cutter. Mm-hmm. And then I also have an author page that I've just started because I'm hoping to publish here soon, and that's ML Cutter is what I will be publishing under.
Nice. Perfect. Yeah. Well, thank you for doing this, Maggie.
Well, thank you for letting me, Seti.
Yes. Yes, fun stuff. So I'll work my way through all three sisters at some point, if I can get Katie to do it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to say it would be easy to get Aaron to do it.
Oh, yeah. And she has a good microphone, so yeah, she's
you're going to have to read a romance.
No, actually, she wants to do Chronicles of Narnia. So.
Oh, well, there we go. Yeah. Well, that'll work.
I told her I would read, you know, The Scarlet Pimpernel or you know, something else. And
something Barbara Carlin. Because the summer I read all of the Agatha Christie, she read all of the Barbara Carlin with the dot, dot, dots and the...
Yes. And the mountainous peaks of ecstasy. Yes.
So.
Okay, cool. I think we're wrapped.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.